For those of you who aren't math majors, I will explain. But you and I grew up in a centripetal world. Centripetal force is the force that pushes in towards the middle. It was a world that was deeply centered. There was a large cultural consensus about the nature of reality. Some of the images and the slogans that were heard repeatedly in the middle of the last century were racial integration, the family of man, global village, spaceship Earth. And these images caught our imagination. Philosophers talked about the unification of all reality. Urbanologist Lewis Mumford claimed that civilization is the never-ending process of creating one world and one humanity. The world was centered. People dreamed about a more profound centering that would unify the human experience in all of its fullness. And a belief in the centeredness of all things was being reflected in the church as well. The Christian church was confident about its center. It believed the gospel of Jesus Christ would triumph throughout the world. The title of a Protestant biweekly, The Christian Century, perfectly summarized the church's confidence. The 20th century was the century in which the world would become Christian. But something happened in the late 60s. A revolution occurred, and it felt like the center began to give way, and then even collapsed. And so we moved from the centripetal world, everything pushing towards the center, to a centrifugal world where everything seemed to scatter away from the center. We moved from a centered world to a world that felt like it had no center. And in fact, it seemed that we were moving farther and farther away from that center all the time. From most appearances, the dominant worldly forces today are moving toward an uncentered and chaotic diversity. William Butler Yeats, the poet, said it well at the end of World War I when he said, "Things fall apart. The center cannot hold." Kenneth Clark even quoted that line in the last of his great Civilization series for TV. Clark comments that there is no center, nothing to hold together the industrial, electronic, and nuclear civilization of our time. His words, "One cannot be optimistic." Well, major cultural analysis of this American culture also tend to expound upon the words of Yeats. We live in a world that is falling apart. There is no center to hold things together. People live in fear and uncertainty because things fall apart and they find no center for their lives. This deep anxiety drives people to search for a center that will provide some sense of security. But when they can't find one that will hold, they turn inward on themselves, often relying on behaviors that become destructive to themselves and their relationships. But friends, when things fall apart, there is a center that will hold. A center that will not ever fail to hold together, even in the midst of insecurity and fear, anger, grief, or depression. Because we who call ourselves Christian believe that Christ is the center. Now, Christians can all agree on that. Christ is the center. But all believers don't always agree on what that means or what that ought to look like. And so we have conservatives and liberals, fundamentalists and universalists, and we are all arguing for our particular place at the table in this discussion, all needing to win. And what a sad state of affairs it is when the center will not hold even for the church. See, we sit around arguing semantics and theology. Who was Jesus? What was Jesus? Forgetting we are talking about a person. The center is not a what. The center is a who. Jesus Christ, the King of creation, is the center that holds us together. Now, from time to time, all of us have or will wish that God would make God's self more apparent, more visible to the naked eye. We have prayed that we could know beyond all doubt that God is real, especially when we feel the center crumbling and there's nothing we can do to stop it. But instead of asking if God is real, I wonder if perhaps we need to be asking a different question. In the Broadway musical, 1776, John Adams stands alone in the congressional chamber, wondering to himself why no one seems to see this independence idea the way he does. And he sings, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" And it seems to me the second question is perhaps much more important than the first, because what difference does it make if God is real, if God doesn't care about us? For God so loved the world that he got involved in it. God sent his son to die. It is Jesus that holds things together when the center feels like it is failing. One Sunday, Memorial Day Sunday in Jonesboro, I sat in a Sunday school class where the person who was leading it handed out different prayers. Prayers for those who had served, prayers for those who had died, prayers for family who never got to see their loved ones again. And there was even a prayer for those who refused to serve. The person who received that was a dear man named Raymond. And when it came his time to pray that prayer, his first words were, "I don't really want to pray this prayer." And I understood that. But later after church, I went to him and I said, "Raymond, when you refused to pray that prayer, you refused to pray for me." And that could have been one of two things. It could have been a point in time where we became separated by a disagreement about what it was to serve at the time for me would have been in Vietnam and what it was to refuse to serve. But instead, Raymond found the center in Jesus Christ and said, "I'm sorry. I wish I could behave as well sometimes." About 6 years ago now, you had water this deep in the basement, and I'm sure the center felt like it was beginning to fall apart. But you gathered together and you cleaned up. And in that process, you made a decision to go on. And now we're feeding people downstairs, and we are going to feed more, and we're going to host people. And mission is taking place again in this church because you saw Christ as the center and kept moving forward. It's even available to people who can't climb stairs because someone saw Christ as the center and came to my office and said, I want this to go to the lift. Thank you. That's the kingdom of God, friends. It's the lunch bunch and the exercise groups, and now the hot lunches on Thursdays. Do you see how much we have to offer in this centerless world? We have a center that guides us, guides our work in the world, the center of whom Paul writes in Colossians when he says, "In Christ, all things hold together." Christ is the center. Paul goes on to remind us of two profound truths. First, that Jesus is Lord of the universe. All things were created through him. In fact, Paul's first words to Christian, fearful of life without a center, is that Jesus is Lord. Paul's second point to an anxious church is that Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. He is the firstborn of a new creation, of a resurrected people. Jesus is the Lord of the created order because he created it. And now Jesus is the head of the church because he founded it. So what does all of this mean for us today? Do you need direction in your life? The center is at the church. Do you want to experience God? Then center in the church. Do you want to experience reconciliation with God and your fellow human beings and with nature? Then center in the church where Jesus is King and holds all things together. Beloved, ask yourselves today, where is my center? Where will it be tomorrow? My prayer is for all of us that our centers will be in Jesus the Christ, who is the first and the last, who was and is to come. Amen.